With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Political neutrality. Not with Timothy Shea. This is The Reckoning with Timothy Shea on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Happy New Year. There, now that we've gotten that out of the way, let's get honest. I wasn't joking a few years ago when I called them commiecrats and said that they hate you, they hate me, they hate America. And it's not just America. They hate Australia. They hate New Zealand. They hate the United Kingdom. They hate Canada. They hate every country that has a healthy economy, prosperous people, and a semblance of liberty, even though we're not nearly as free today as we were 50 years ago when I was a boy. No, they're commiecrats. They're communists. They're not liberals. They're not progressives. They're not socialists. They're not democratic socialists, whatever the heck that is. No, these people are hardcore communists, and they look to do one thing, to dismantle, destroy, and disassemble societies that have taken millennia to build up. Here's a radical idea. How about if a whole bunch of people with different skill sets get together, all with the same objective? They come up with a new product or a new service that there are actually people out there that want to pay money for, and they organize themselves so that people with the necessary skill sets are all doing the correct job, right? So you don't have the mechanical engineer doing public relations, and you don't have the English major designing the machinery. Everybody's organized. Everybody's got different skill sets. They're all being used to the best of use possible. The company goes out and sells those goods and services. They make money and they pay their employees. And we do it that way. Oh, no, no, no. Hey, Timbo, what kind of extremist, what kind of radical are you? Don't you know that it's ideology first and competence second? Well, that's the world these people want to create. And that's the world that people like my guest this first hour want to end. So I'd like to welcome back to The Reckoning, Isaac Lopez. Isaac is the Director of Public Relations at Red Balloon. You can find them at redballoon.org. Because there's no communism. There's no .com at Red Balloon. No communism at Red Balloon. It's redballoon.work. And folks, let's face it. They call it work. They don't call it play. Sometimes it's work to go to work, right? What we need to not have is woke at work, Isaac.
Timothy, Happy New Year. Merry Christmas. Good to be back with you. Love your show. So always good to be back and talk about stuff like this. And yeah, no, I mean, the wokeness in the workplace has gotten worse and worse in many workplaces. But thankfully, like you mentioned before, there are hundreds and if not thousands of companies that are trying to find people that are going to come to work, that are going to get rid of the politics in the office and all of a sudden get back to the America of even just three decades ago.
Right. And what we're talking about, we're not talking about, you know, companies being racist and insensitive and, you know, playing grab ass with the secretaries and all that stuff. We're talking about people that are who they are. You respect your coworkers, but see, here's the thing, Isaac, and this is the problem I have with this whole pronouns issue, right? We'll get into that because I know there's some legal wranglings over the pronouns here. By someone telling you what pronouns they want you to use, it's them saying that they have the right to control the way you think and talk about them to other people. Because if, for example, you're sitting here, and so I'm going to pick on you, if you told me that your pronouns were bacon and Swiss cheeseburger, well, I'm not going to refer to you as bacon and Swiss cheeseburger. I'm going to refer to you. How do you do, Isaac? Happy New Year to you, Isaac. Is that your new car? I'm going to use you and your when I'm talking to you. So this isn't about using your quote unquote pronouns when you're addressing someone. You see, that's the big lie that they're pushing, folks.
I'm just telling people how I want to be addressed.
No, you're telling people how you want others to think about you and talk about you to third parties. You want to control them when you're not even in their presence. And that's the insidious aspect of this whole pronouns issue.
That is. And I mean, as much as I would love to be called bacon, I take that as a compliment, as well as a Swiss burger, one of my favorite burgers. But it is unfortunate that now, according to the EEOC, which is the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, you can be fired if you misuse someone's pronouns. But I think you hit it on the nail right there on the head, because this is now getting to a place where people are gossiping about what other people might have said or might not have said. And it's getting down to finger pointing, and people are losing their jobs over something very minor that many people call microaggressions, but really are just maybe slip of the tongue or even just someone living to their values. But that someone living to their values isn't going to hurt someone else. But that's what it's come down to.
Or something that didn't even happen. If you've got beef with somebody, what's the best way to get them out of your company?
He misgendered me. He didn't use my pronouns when he was talking about me at the water cooler.
Sorry, Biff. You know, I know you got a family to feed, but good luck elsewhere.
Yeah, no, and it's getting to the point where it's just toxic is such a overused word now, obviously, and it's misused. But there is a study done in 2019 that showed $100 billion is lost in productivity to office politics. So people that are just jockeying for position, undercutting their fellow colleagues, not wanting to work together to try to get the actual work done in the job, there are billions upon billions of dollars being lost globally because of this virus that has gotten into the workplace and just this office politics. And then, like I mentioned in our last chat, Timothy, that Gallup did a poll where 60% of American workers are unhappy. They're dissatisfied with their job because now all of a sudden when you hire someone, you expect them to also be an activist for the general take in the company.
And let's not kid ourselves. Office politics have existed since the time there were offices. I mean, we all have stories going back decades about, people undercutting, people taking credit for the work that others did. I even remember one case where somebody actually downloaded a report from, they hacked into somebody's account and downloaded the report and then presented it as their own. Okay, so this stuff has been going on forever. But what this wokeism is, it's just a new cudgel in their tool bag, right? It's a new weapon, and you can better believe that the people wielding it are the ones that don't want to actually work. They just want the corner office and the perks and the this and the that.
Yeah, and it's getting worse, right? And so, like you said, this story is not new. Everyone knows the ending, and yet they continue to rewrite the same novel 100 billion times over. And what's happening now is that companies are turning the compliance culture into its own industry. I mean, as many people are aware of ESG, we recently released a report at redbloom.work. Our research team and CEO put out a report with just trends according to the freedom economy. That happened in 2022 and going on into 2023. And obviously ESG is here to stick. And unfortunately, apparently 90% of companies are already developing ESG practices. And that was a survey of 556 companies. So they turned it into such a thing that is going to really just squash their workforce's responsibility and will to really excel in their job.
Is the cutoff point for small and medium-sized business still 500 employees?
Yeah.
So that's the answer, right? You just keep to 499 employees or fewer, and you're going to be exempt from all of these regulations, mm-hmm. right? So I know one company, and what they did is they turned the company into a whole, it was a multi-state company, and what they did is they turned the main company into a holding company, and they spun off state subsidiaries, so they didn't have more than 499 employees in each state. And because they were operating independently, they were able to get around the rules. Now, whether the government goes after them and says, no, you're operating together and et cetera, that remains to be seen. But I know a lot of banks, for example, have gotten around the banking regulations by doing the same thing. You just start, you know, if a Massachusetts bank wants to do business in New York, they just start a new bank in New York. And it's a separate, it's branded all the same, but it's a separately run operation. That's one way. Ultimately, I think the marketplace is going to have the final say. I still believe in Adam Smith's invisible hand. And I really want to push in 2023. I know I am going to make a concerted effort to push the go woke, go broke slogan, because we have to stop funding people who hate us. Stop giving them your money. No TV show is worth it. Wait until it comes out on DVD. Your public library is going to get the whole series. You can still binge it. You don't have to watch it the first week it's out, and you don't have to be given these companies that hate you and that are producing content that are antithetical to your values. You don't have to be giving them the money. And I've been practicing this myself. All right. I defer the gratification of watching Yellowstone, for example. I deferred it until it came out on DVD, and so I'm a season behind. I did the same thing with Game of Thrones. I've seen all the shows, didn't see them when they first came out, but is my life substantially poorer as a result? Of course not.
No, delayed gratification is a good point, because it's just we've gotten to the point where we are so comfortable in our society that we're willing to put up with so many sins in our culture that it's like, hey, at least I have my creaturely comforts. But what's going to stick around for generations? Will the same big tech company always be there? No. I mean, they're going to go away. They will crumble. I mean, we are man after all.
Yeah, just ask MySpace.
Right, exactly. And that's the thing, right? We need to start thinking generationally, and we need to start thinking about, okay, how do I preserve values that made this country so great for 246, 47 years? And how do I prolong it? And not even prolong it, how do I make it better? Because everyone's trying to get back to the American values of yesteryear, which were great. But I think that we can even build on the shoulders of these giants. And so that's why you can start by looking for places to support in your area that aren't going to be Amazon or Starbucks. And that's why an app like Public Square, our partner, they're a marketplace. Timothy, I think I mentioned it previously on the show, but I do just want to mention it again, because I think they're closing on 40,000 businesses that have signed up on their app that have said, hey, you download this app and you go into Chicago, which is an extremely liberal city, and yet you pull this up, and there are 40 businesses in the area that have signed a pledge saying, hey, we value all the things that the conservative people value. And you can go and shop on this app. It's basically like the conservative Yelp. And that gives you a really simple free tool to find ways to spend your money that aren't going to come back and bite you in the butt. Or better yet, not come back and come after your children.
I love that. How could people find that?
It's just Public SQ on the App Store, and I think they're getting a website up and running. So that'd be publicsq.com.
Folks, no more Yelp. Use Public SQ. Yeah, no more Yelp. Use Public SQ. Not that anything's wrong with Yelp necessarily, but if you can find conservative businesses, why don't you? I love it, because our pathetic governor, Kathy Hochul, Gretchen Whitmer's other evil twin, right? They're both the evil twins.
New York, the state needs to discover ways to retain New Yorkers. We need people to not be leaving New York.
3 months ago, she said, Republicans, go to Florida where you belong. That's her exact words. Go to Florida where you belong. We don't want you here. Okay? And now she's whining that 535,000 New Yorkers have left. Right? We should have lost 2 congressional seats. We only lost 1. The left said,
well, if you don't like the censorship, just build your own.
And so Republicans, conservatives have said, okay. And that's why I love your company, RedBalloon.org. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Rick Mund on TNT Radio.
Well, of course, people are moving around. Some people legally, some people illegally. Story breaking this morning. Immigrant rights activists are warning Joe Biden, don't act like Donald Trump as a new border surge approaches. So there's a surge of people will be entering America illegally, imminently. It's been telegraphed. And activists have been warning Biden, don't act like Trump. In other words, just let them come on in. If I flew in JFK Airport today from Dublin, I would not be allowed entering into the United States of America because I do not have the old Bish, Bash, Bush injections. But if I made my way to Mexico and then moved in illegally, there's no problem with that at all. Because that's Joe Biden's America. Devoid of logic, devoid of reasoning, and completely devoid of any common sense. So, it's a bizarre headline, but nevertheless, do you get the message? The border is wide open, and you're not allowed to say a single word. Nothing. Zip. Nada.
Rick Mann is locked and loaded on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Restore democracy and impeach Joe Biden. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Isaac, before the break, you mentioned the EEOC, Equal Employment Oppression Council, right? Isn't that what it stands for? Isn't the O in EEOC for
definitely
oppression? Because that's what it sure seems like. I mean, how does this make sense? We've got, and this isn't the only company, I'm picking on them, but it's not the only company that's done this. It's not the only company that has made anti-market decisions, right? How many companies out there have basically flipped off their customers with both fingers? I mean, Starbucks, Target, Disney, the list can go on and on and on. But Twilio, right? So Twilio has lost 80% of its market cap. 80% of the stock value in the company. Gone. Poof. Bye. Thanks, Joe. Bidenomics. You get what you vote for. Or in this case, you get what the votes were manufactured for. So Twilio loses 80% of its market cap, and they have to have an 11% layoff. Okay, that happens. Companies underperform the market. They got to cut costs. You have layoffs. That's one of your elastic costs in a business, right? Is your workforce. Forgive my skepticism, though, Isaac. I'm doubting that the CEO of Twilio's stock package, salary, and bonus were very much affected. But so they announced an 11% layoff. That happens. But they virtue signal, and they say they're going to look at the layoffs through an anti-racist, anti-oppression lens, which means they fired white people because, you know, these layoffs, Isaac, can disproportionately affect marginalized communities. So we got to fire the white guys.
Yeah, and it's insane, right? I mean, I've done a number of interviews and we've talked about this story, I think even on the show previously, and it's one of those that I hope I don't become callous to ever before or ever again, just because this is the reality that many people are being laid off because of the color of their skin, which I thought we had gotten past this, you know, decades and decades ago. But now it's almost like we've regressed. And this is in itself part of reparations that everyone is so, especially the far left, is so hopped up on trying to get to. But it's not just layoffs, it's also hiring. Like 20%, nearly 20% of hiring managers are looking to, or have been told by their direct superiors that you cannot hire white people. And 50% of those people who are looking to hire in a very tight labor market, I mean, at Red Balloon, we are keeping an eye on the labor market, trying to help our businesses find the right talent, right? That isn't going to go extremely woke. So we know it's an extremely tough time to hire. And yet these crazy woke corporations are saying to 50% of these hiring managers, like, hey, if you hire incorrectly, you will be fired. And so not only are we disallowing white people, white Americans, to be hired in America today, we're also putting people's jobs on the line if they do the right thing and hire based on merit instead of skin color.
And HR has been the problem department at large corporations for decades now, right? You know, you see these training sessions that they go off to, you see the kind of people that are being hired by HR, and it doesn't matter what color they are. They're all the same ideology. They're all hardcore leftists that go into HR for the most part, right? I've known a couple of people that were, they were people persons, but they went into that in 5 minutes. One of them, the first I learned of all this is one of them came to me, it was a friend of mine, and said, you're not going to believe this. I just went to this conference and you're not going to believe what they're talking about. She was blown away, and that was my first exposure to it. So it's been a longstanding problem. The good news, and I like, you know, I'll take people down into the dark and twisty places, but I always like to leave them with good news, right? So the good news is that it's like, it's almost like the 80-20 rule, right? 80% of employees work for small businesses, right? And only 20% of employees, about roughly, I don't know what the exact percentage is, but it's close to 80-20, work for large corporations. And redballoon.work is a perfect way for small businesses to find people that might share some of these ideologies. They might have people that have pronoun preferences or whatever, and that's fine. But that's not their raison d'etre. They don't go into work like, oh, who can I get to microaggress me today? They're actually interested in doing a job. And, you know, so they got three nose rings and purple hair and who cares, right? They're married to a chihuahua and God love them. But they're there to do a job and they're good at it. And, you know, that's what it should be all about.
Yeah, totally agree. And what we try to focus on at Red Balloon, because we understand that there are going to be people like you who can raise the flag for truth and point out all the red flags that are occurring right now in corporate America. And we're trying to come alongside the conservative media and just offer solutions to what you guys are saying, right? So there is the problem in HR that has really just become a cancerous mass in corporate America that needs a solution. And so all of the companies that signed up on Red Balloon, for those of you who haven't heard of Red Balloon, all of the companies that list a job pledge to not enforce any of these woke ideologies, won't enforce the vaccine mandate. We were recently just at this massive conference down in Phoenix, just a week and a half ago. And every time we told potential job seekers this story, their eyes just lit up. And everyone, barring none, said that we really need someone like you, right? We really need this. The fact of the matter is that you can go on LinkedIn and Indeed and find plenty of jobs, but you start to get the sense that they lean a certain way after 2 minutes of scrolling the description of the job posting. And actually on hiring, you know, you mentioned your friend in HR there. A lot of people in a lot of businesses are struggling to connect with the right person, right? How do you know that the person you hired isn't going to be a crazy activist in the workplace?
Exactly. And let's get into that after the news. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Time to read some news. TNT Radio News.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Pakistan and India exchanged lists of their nuclear facilities on Sunday as part of a 1988 pact that bars them from attacking each other's nuclear installations. A bomb exploded near a checkpoint at Kabul's military airport, killing and wounding several people, according to Taliban officials. 4 males have been brought to hospital with non-life-threatening injuries in Ireland after a mass stabbing event at one of the country's many migrant hotels.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Isaac, you said something very interesting. You said, and I love the phrase that's come into the culture in the last 20 years, right? Onboarding. We've got an onboarding process. Now, you just hired somebody and you're doing orientation, right? It used to be called job orientation. Like, welcome. Here's your insurance form. Fill that out. And here's the job expectations. This is what you'll be doing. This is your manager. And we got a little training module for you. And here's the employee handbook. Welcome to the company. No. Now it has to be a whole process. It's onboarding. We got an onboarding process. And like you said, how do you know you haven't swallowed a poison pill? How do you know you haven't hired somebody? And I know a company that did this, okay? Woman shows up, totally, you know, spit and polish, looked great, dressed very professionally, the whole nine yards, shows up first day of work wearing a hijab. Still looked great, spit and polished, dressed very professionally, but she had a hijab on. Now, why didn't she wear that for the interview? And now all of a sudden you can't fire her because that's an anti-discrimination suit staring you in the face. So what's RedBalloon.work's solution?
Yeah, I love that example as well. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine who he knows someone who opened up 4 different chains in his business. Didn't expect it to grow so fast. So he ended up hiring about 20 to 30 employees to run these different stores. And all of a sudden, he had a bunch of woke people working for his business and he was losing money on it. I mean, and he had to close it all down and hire the right people because to him, it was more important to have a good company culture so that way he could earn money in the long run instead of just hiring quickly anyone off the street, right? And what happens there is that people are going to just, you're sacrificing so much if you hire too quickly or you don't know what to ask in the interview process. And we've vetted through multiple lawyers a interview process that our companies can use in the hiring, through all the hiring strategies that aren't going to get you sued. Because there are a lot of compliance laws you have to be aware of. And so we're actually about to release that on our platform for any company to know how to ask the right questions and get the right answers so you know who you're about to hire without breaking any law. And so it's all legally vetted and you can use it confidently, but you can also rest assured knowing that you're about to hire the right person. And so that'll be available at redballoon.work in like a week and a half.
And that's what I love about your company. I mean, man alive, could I have used you 30 years ago when I was hiring people? Because it's a huge pitfall. And, you know, monster.com was the big board back in the 90s. I think that was really the first big job board, right? It was out of Massachusetts. And it was a good company. And they provided some tools, and they'd have articles you could read. But you guys really dig deep and kind of provide a back-end HR operation that companies can rely on. You don't just give them an opportunity to post job openings and to find applicants, but you actually give them tools that they can use to run their business.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with Steven Crowder's show, Louder with Crowder.
I love it.
Yeah, we handle all of his hiring needs because he has two positions he was trying to fill. And obviously people like him, Tim Pool, Daily Wire, our CEO just went and toured Daily Wire Studios, and they can't really release the known address for where they actually are, right? They have to have a P.O. box or whatever. Because there'd be pickets out
24/7.
Yeah. And also a bunch of crazy people are trying to do unspeakable things at their place of work. So what they've had to do is the same thing in the hiring game. It's right. If you post something on Indeed, say Steven Crowder goes and throws up a job posting, 50% of those people are going to be left wing who are going to look to blow up the whole thing. Right. I mean, they're going to look at,
I think take it down. You're being generous. Yeah. Like 95%. Yeah.
So we're if you will, we've been able to provide special ops for them. And so there's any company can post for free on RedBalloon, but you can buy the premium package where we do cultural interviews for your candidates. And our team handles it all for you. And then we give you the cream of the crop that not only fits the requirements, but also fit your culture. And we do it all legally.
So really, you're operating as a headhunter agency then in that capacity?
Yeah, for some, right? It's not every single one, because that would be
sure, but if you want to pay the premium price,
yeah,
and you get the premium service, that's fantastic. Because look,
yeah,
the guys I know that run businesses, all they want to do is run their business. All they want to do is penetrate the market as much as possible, focus on advertising, market share, making their widget the best it can be, making their service the best it can be. They're focused on running their business. They don't want to have to focus on this stuff that sucks up so much of your time. So if you can rely on experts like you guys, I mean, sure, it's a premium price, but I guarantee, I don't even know what the price is, and I can guarantee you're saving CEOs more money than they're spending.
It's true. And the reality is, if you're looking to hire someone that requires a headhunter, you're probably looking at 25 to 35% of that person's first year salary, right? And so if it's not an entry-level job, that's probably going to be a good $20,000 out of pocket. For us, it's a $1,000 service.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Yeah, once it's done, right? And you can end the subscription like go down to a freemium package. I mean, we're saving companies hundreds of thousands of dollars in the long run while also helping them work with like-minded people that are going to help them find like-minded people.
Also, let's not put too fine a point on it. They're also offloading the liability to you guys. It's like, hey, I use RedBalloon, man. In good faith, I used RedBalloon. You can't sue me, which is beautiful.
Yeah, and so our process, it has to be very careful, right? We have to make sure we're doing everything by the book, or else it's going to get sticky really fast. But thankfully, we've been able to help a lot of companies already doing this. And it was something that our companies asked us to do, right? Like, we're trying to build products that are going to help people actually get the job done instead of just building products that, I mean, I won't name any names, but a lot of conservative startups might just throw something together because they see a lot of money in it. For us, it's like, hey, we're actually here to get the job done and make an impact for decades to come.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you folks are really focused on being a cornerstone of the new parallel economy that's forming.
That's our goal, Timothy. And one of the things that we appreciate about, I just appreciate about you is that you keep having me on for some odd reason. And hopefully,
people enjoy these conversations. I enjoy talking to you. And pretty much, if I enjoy talking to people, the listeners enjoy it. I get good feedback. But yeah, no, I'm happy to keep publicizing you guys, because it's, you know, I shouldn't have been surprised at that price, because when you told me what your other prices were initially in our first conversation, I was like, wait, how are you guys making money on that? That's so cheap. And it's like, it's a no-brainer to use RedBalloon.org. So, and now if I can use you guys to do my job interviews for me and just give me the do a cultural screen and just give me the ones that you think are going to be good eggs. I saw a funny meme. You probably saw it as well. It was I don't know if it was a TikTok video that was posted to Twitter or whether it was a Facebook reel or what it was one of these short videos. And it was about guys doing a job interview. And it was like this, they had all grease on their hands, and this woke hipster with the dreads comes in. And he's like, "Hey dude, so yeah, I'm really interested in your company and like find out what you're all about. And so like, where's the margarita bar?" And like that, you know, a guy comes knocking out, he's got grease on his fingers. Like, "Hey, Ed, we got a problem down in Bay 5, engine blew a gasket. We're going to, you know, it's dirty, man. We need your help down here." And the guy is like all horrified. He's like, I don't think there's a company for me. And so he leaves. And the guy that came in with dirty hands, it's like, "Hey, we skunked another one." And he goes and he's washing his hands, cleaning up. He goes, let's break out those margaritas. So, I mean, the message is, you can have your culture, and it can be something that other people might say that they want and even actually want, but you don't have to hire people based on that. You can actually screen a little bit. And I just thought it was funny and apropos.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's one of those things that once you learn how to do it, be done on your own, right? But it can be really intimidating. And like you mentioned, a lot of business owners just want to run their business. And so that's why America has knelt down to HR, because the CEO just wanted to run the business. And so they just passed it off to the chief people officer, whatever they're calling them these days, and gave it up to the HR and said, "Hey, you just worry about company culture and you hire, and I'll take care of running the business." But the bottom line is that people are your business, right? They're your best asset. And when you have people that are being hired that aren't going to be focused, it literally costs your business unit millions of dollars. Like, they're 23% less profitable in the long run each year.
Yeah. And I'll amend the old saw about marriage: hire in haste, repent at leisure, right? Because once you've onboarded somebody, it's almost impossible to get rid of them these days, because you're going to end up with a lawsuit. And I'm still just gobsmacked at that price, $1,000 a month, because if you need an HR function, right, that's somebody that's a minimum 60K a year, right? You're not going to get an HR person for under 60 anymore. And I'm probably lowballing that by, you know, maybe it's double that. I don't know. But you've also got to get an assistant. And then you've got to have the benefits, which is over and above the salary. And then you've got to have the conferences and the certifications and the this and the that. You're ended up spending serious money, whereas for 12 grand, I can come to you. Why wouldn't I come to you? It's a no-brainer.
In my mind, it's the same way. But obviously, I'm ultra biased. But it's one of those things that it's going to help hundreds of companies. And then if you just focus on, "Hey, we just need this one position filled," then you can drop down to the standard package, which still gives you access to unlimited job postings. But you kind of mentioned it earlier in the segment, Timothy, about how the onboarding process is now what it's called. But really, it's just like, "Hey, here are the job requirements." We had a local coffee shop that was trying to find a good handbook for their employees, because you're required by law to have an employee handbook. And so they just adopted one from their previous coffee shop that the owner had worked at previously. And that coffee shop had adopted it from Starbucks. And so it's a Starbucks coffee shop handbook that is now in this, you know, conservative coffee shop. And all of the employees are kind of skimming it. It's like, what is this? You know, like I was hired to work at a great coffee shop, and now there's all this woke politicking in the handbook for the employees. She came to us, and we have a handbook that has been legally vetted again, that is basically just the good old Book of Proverbs, just with the references taken out. But there's a bunch of great material in there that teaches your employees how to think and act for themselves.
That's fantastic. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.
Nothing says normal like inserting a frozen stick of tomato paste into your surgically created mangina so that you can pretend that you're having your period. The war on heterosexual white Christian men proceeds apace. It's full steam ahead on all fronts, whether it's Black Lives Matter, critical race theory, trans rights, climate change, or ESG, environmental, social, and governance scores for corporations and countries, or DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion. Unless, of course, you're a hetero white Christian male. It's unbelievable how this is allowed to be tolerated in America, but this is the left. This is the modern left. They need to destroy everything that made America great in order to, in the words of John Kerry, take us down a peg. From MAGAInstitute.com, this is Timothy Shea for TNT Radio.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives and restore sight and health for many more. Sign up right now online as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
This is TNT Radio, where you meet the entire menagerie of mankind.
And some who haven't yet been cataloged.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
You know, the progressive era in American politics started about 120 years ago. Teddy Roosevelt was the first progressive candidate. And people say he ran on the Bull Moose Party. That was the nickname of the party, right? It was the Progressive Party. He ushered in the progressive era. Woodrow Wilson followed him. And that's what gave us the Federal Reserve. That's what gave us the income tax. That's what took away states' voices in the government by allowing for the direct election of senators via the 17th Amendment. Government has been a participant. It has not been benign. It's not been on the sidelines. In fact, it's hard to find a history of the 19th century business world without them criticizing the government's quote-unquote laissez-faire attitude. Hands off, let the markets regulate. Now, certain regulation is good, right? We want to have safe food. We want to have safe drugs. But what we've seen in the last 30 years particularly is the government isn't just there as a relatively open mesh filter, just filtering out the really bad stuff and letting the market make micro corrections. No. The government is getting involved in the nitty gritty, Isaac. CDC is now telling us what language we're allowed to use, how this falls under the purview of the Centers for Disease Control. But you see, this is the big lie. That's why they always wanted a health of the mother exception to abortion, because then what they would do is they'd say, well, it's for her mental health, which is basically no restriction on abortion whatsoever, right? Because anything can be categorized for someone's mental health. Well, that's what CDC is doing now. So they've come out with a manual entitled The Preferred Terms for Select Population Groups and Communities. I'm going to go way out on a limb here. I'm guessing that redballoon.org does not have a manual of preferred terms for select population groups and communities that employers can use. Just taking a wild guess here.
No, Thank the Lord, no. Maybe work slash hard or something like that. I mean, I don't know what I mean. The insanity is that the left has just outsmarted the right, and maybe they haven't even outsmarted them, us, but it's just gotten to the point where we have been known to be really good at walking with a rock in our shoe for miles. That meaning we are fine with putting up with whatever as long as we get to do our thing. Because conservatives love to stay in our lane. We love to go to work. We love to come home. We love to raise our kids. We love to, you know, just enjoy life in a very American way. And the way it's gotten to where we are today is because the left continues to shrink our lane, which might have been a 6-lane highway, but now we have a sidewalk and half of the curb. And so if you want to restore freedom in your life again, you've got to start right now, right? Because like you mentioned, it's been 120 years in the making. We had a progressive president back then, and it's just slowly eroded to the point where we are today, and people are finally waking up. And, you know, we've moved the needle on people like Twilio and some of the other newer companies, but to be able to really move the needle on Disney and Amazon, it's going to take commitment for the rest of your life. And so that's why you've got to start and act now and then just make it a habit. So that way your children can grow up in a much more free American, what we're experiencing today, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it's, you know, we got to get the government out of everybody's back pockets and out from between their ears, right? This is dangerous. This is dangerous for a government to now be regulating speech. But we, you know, that I still am not willing to say that Elon Musk is a really good guy. I don't know. He might be a good guy. He might be a closet Satanist. I mean, I think he was just trolling people at Halloween wearing the Baphomet outfit. But who knows? Maybe he really does worship Baphomet. I don't know. I judge people based on their actions, and his actions have been pretty stellar of late. And, you know, he said he's calling Fauci out. He said it's going to be epic with the Fauci files coming next week. But these Twitter file revelations that not only was the government intimately involved with the censorship of American citizens over political speech and over scientific information, right? Because everything that was deemed anti-science was actually the science, and everything that was deemed follow the science was actually harmful and ended up killing hundreds of thousands of people worldwide. So when you've got the government that embedded in, they weren't just participating, they were actually paying the companies to censor people, $3 million plus for Twitter. It gets to the point where you wonder where the Great Reset is going to come from. Right, Klaus Schwab with his fourth industrial revolution wants a great reset, and that means you'll own nothing and like it. And I think we need a great reset where government is, you know, we lose 60 to 75% of government employees. I wouldn't have a problem with that at all.
Yeah, I used to work at, just to speak to the size of government, I used to work at a labor market firm, analytics firm that shows how many job postings are in every area. And we have billions of these because we scrape them every 2 weeks and we compile them. And the amount of government jobs are in every county, by far the largest employer in your county guaranteed. It's just grown to be such a massive employer on its own that it's basically just, I can't even say multi-billion dollar, but it's a crazy large number that these people, that the government can employ. Now, to get back to your other point about Elon Musk, and even I would say Donald Trump, you've got men that we might not have thought would be the people to stand up today, but at least they have the kahunas to do it, right? I mean, at least they're starting to do something. And whether or not I agree with what he does or who he worships or who he claims to worship, whatever, there is area in this lifetime to be co-belligerents with people like them. And what they're doing, and that's setting them apart from previous CEOs of Twitter and Facebook and Google, is that they have gotten to a point in their business where they aren't going to compromise. That's where we have gotten today, that these companies, these tech giants sprung up. And to get to where they are today, they made certain deals. And those deals came knocking, and the Twitter files reveals exactly what that cost and who paid the price. And who paid the price? It was the American people. It was their information, it was their freedom and their liberty. And so that's a
great lesson. And sometimes their lives.
A great lesson. Exactly. Exactly. And so that's a great lesson for business owners today who might be on the fast track with a great business. And then you've got to understand that if once you get to a certain level, there's going to be certain people that will come knocking, and you have to keep that door closed and never open it. Because if you open it, you're going to go down the path that Facebook and Google and Twitter did to make deals and to get to where they are today.
Yeah. And like you said, you sell your soul, there's a price sooner or later. And the question is, you know, part of it, right? Part of it is what we used to say, politics makes strange bedfellows. Well, cultural issues, fighting cultural Marxism might make strange bedfellows too, right? So you might have Christians linking arms with atheists. For example, Bill Maher. I never thought, you know, Bill Maher is a conservative. Still don't. Love what he's been saying. I got a lot of grief at first when I credited him for speaking out against radical Islam. And he's like, no, there's only one group of people that are trying to blow everybody else up. There's only one group of people running down parade goers with cars and trucks. There's only one group of people. And he called it out a few years ago. And he's doing it now again with COVID. And he did a video recently. It was brilliant. It's called A Unified Theory of Wokeness. Folks, go to YouTube if you want a good laugh. I've been saying consistently, you know, I grew up, my cousins ran the Democrat Party in Syracuse. Our next door neighbors out to the lake ran the Republican Party. I got to see both parties up close and personal, behind the curtain, warts and all, good points and bad points, because each party has good points and bad points. And I have no problem with people who share my policy objectives but disagree with me over the means. Okay, they think a 25% tax rate for corporations is important. I think a 0%. So maybe we settle on 15 or 18, right? Because I don't think you should have double taxation, double level of taxation. And that's a policy preference, and that's something we can disagree on, right? So we, you know, that's fine. I can do business with those people. They're Americans. They love the Bill of Rights. Politics stops at water's edge. We go out into the world together as Americans. Well, we need more liberals. That's why I've been telling people for years, don't call them liberals. Call these people leftists. Call them communists. Call them what they are. They're not liberals. A liberal is Bill Maher, Dr. Naomi Wolf, Russell Brand, even though he's not an American. You know, he would be a liberal Democrat if he were here as a citizen. And people like that, because look, I don't want a world run by all Republicans. And I don't like being in a state run by all Democrats. We need the give and take. We need the dynamic tension of different viewpoints coming together. But we need to get back to having some liberals on the left. These communists got to go, Isaac. Last word.
Yeah, and I would just say that they've gotten to a point where they're just in control, right? And so they've done that, like you said, over the last 120 years or so. And so they've played the long game. They've been willing to take some losses in battle to win the war. And for us to be able to do that, we need to go where culture is made. So make sure you go and build culture where you can impact it. And one of those places is the workplace. So just make sure that you are satisfied with your job today. And if you need a new job, it's a new year. Go look for one. And it can take some time. So just make sure you sign up for email updates from redballoon.work. And we'll make sure we get you with the right company.
And folks, if you're out there and you run a company and you need the help, you need somebody to help you do the interviews, you need legally compliant manuals, you need to have your backside covered against any potential lawsuits, rely on redballoon.work. That's what they're there for. So whether you're an employee, prospective employee, or an employer looking for help, go to redballoon.org. Isaac, can't thank you enough. Hope it's a very prosperous new year for you and for redballoon.org. You're listening to The Reckoning on TNT Radio.